Good morning. The reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Thank you. I'll just start with a prayer. Heavenly Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So I am excited to be looking at one of the writings of the Apostle Paul, one of his letters. The church in Corinth was a church with problems. And Paul is not one of those guys who likes to mince his words. So why do you think I'm so interested in a dysfunctional church 2,000 years ago? And it's not because I think this is remotely a dysfunctional church. It's because what I'm interested in is how to lead a good Christian life. How can I get clues from the people closest to the teachings of Jesus, the times in which he spoke, to realize how to lead a good life, but in the real world? How can I live life well, given that, as Alison beautifully illustrated, sometimes we have joys and sometimes life is rubbish. Rubbish stuff happens. Stuff is unfair. People are lonely. There are injustices. People don't have enough stuff. People are hurting. Ultimately, we're all dying. There's a cheerful thought. So, yeah, I know, you can tell this is going to be really cheerful. So basically, this is what we're going to look at. Outline. If I'm going to take this as a model or instruction for my life, then I do want to make sure that I understand what it's actually saying. So our title was Comfort Through Afflictions. Our translation talked about comfort and troubles. So I'm going to look at what did that actually mean? What does that actually mean? And then we're going to look at how we might comfort others. And then in order to look like we're being humble and modest, we're going to think about getting comfort for ourselves last. So the passage begins like this. And obviously the standout words there are highlighted in red and in blue. Comfort and troubles or afflictions. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. So actually, life is rubbish, but God does care. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we receive ourselves from God. Sometimes the words, the phrases he uses all sort of twist back on himself, But there we've got this very strong idea that this comfort is there from God, that there will be troubles, therefore the comfort to spill out from us to others and to receive it back to ourselves. So this word comfort is a bit of a funny one, you know? What do I think when I think of comfort? Yeah, a nice squashy pillow, nice fluffy throw, something comfortable. That's not usually how the word is being used in the Old and the New Testament. So looking back at Isaiah 40, which Paul the Apostle would have been very familiar with, as in his past life, he was a Pharisee, so very well versed in the Hebrew Bible. The word comfort there is lachmu. I'm not claiming perfect pronunciation here, by the way. It's lachmu, and that means strength. So what it is claiming is that the people of God, this is Isaiah writing to a people who are in exile, so they are displaced from their lands, they're discriminated against, they're the bottom of society, they will be impoverished in lots of ways, and there wasn't even an NHS. So they are experiencing these troubles. And so when he says, comfort my people, what he means is to strengthen them. So strengthening to the end of endurance, so they can endure till they get to the promises. So it's an urging them to be strong. It's not diminishing their suffering, but it's encouraging them to be strong. Not saying, that's all right, make yourself comfortable, put your feet up. This letter wasn't obviously written in Hebrew. As many of you have spotted, it was written in Greek. So how else is that word that we've been translated as comfort used in the Greek? Well, if those of you who know something about the Apostle Paul, had a friend, a mentor called Barnabas, whose name meant that he was the son of encouragement or an encourager. And again, that word, I think, has got a bit diminished recently. You know, we think of encouraging, you know, toddler won't finish their breakfast. It's like, come on, one more spoonful, here comes the aeroplane, or whatever it is. It's more to give courage. Having courage is not about, you know, can I face the last spoonful of porridge or whatever. It's about dealing with some of those big problems in life, to give courage. So, what these terms would have meant when Paul talked about comfort was to give people strength, and courage. Because the afflictions that they were facing, the troubles they were facing, were not necessarily trivial. Barnabas's great strength, his superpower, what gave him his nickname, was that he saw what people were capable of. He saw that they could tap into God's strength and courage, what they could be. And he got alongside and encouraged them to realize that. So the pictures of the comfort bear, you know, someone's having a bad time, say, they're there, it'll be all right. It's not that kind of take comfort. Fortunately, I think, because some problems are huge. So, a hug is good, but, you know, it doesn't solve anything. Some people are more pro-hugs than others, but this is not what he's talking about, to be comfortable. So the troubles. We have heard about troubles. We've heard about troubles day to day, and anyone who works on the front line, in a school, wherever, will have come across people with troubles and know that everybody is suffering. If I read from verse 8, this is Paul and the people that he was with saying, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we are experiencing in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the death sentence." Some commentators think, well, you know, maybe Paul actually had a nervous breakdown. Maybe, you know, that was hopeless. Some of you may be thinking, ha-ha, have you read 1 Corinthians? There, Paul actually says to them all, you will not be tempted more than you can bear. Is there a contradiction there? There he is saying, you know, God's not going to have a go at you till you can't cope. And here he says, that was it, we couldn't cope. I think there, as you can see, is that in that moment, clearly Paul did feel that was it. He'd lost all hope, he despaired, he had reached rock bottom. But it wasn't more than he could cope with, because he came back. And his testimony would be that he came back from that place with the strength and the courage that he received from God, not from some idea of digging within himself or somebody saying, they're there, have a fluffy teddy bear. So how is it that we could go about comforting others? We share in God's compassion for people. It breaks people's heart to see children coming to school hungry, without the basic things they need, struggling in a language they're not familiar with, through no fault of their own. What can we do to help encourage others? This was the least huggy picture I could find. And the answer is, we all suffer. Suffering is universal. Paul here was not saying, I am your great leader. Actually, he was trying to say, I am your leader. I have authority as apostle. But he wasn't saying, I'm your great leader because I never suffer. I can always cope. I know what I'm doing. So suffering is a common place that we have. I worked some time ago with a pastor who said, I think somewhat tongue-in-cheek, clearly none of my church have problems because no one ever rings me for, you know, advice and help and prayer. And you're all kind of thinking, yeah, actually, you know, I could point around the room, we've all got major troubles. What was his problem? Why weren't people flocking to him? I think sometimes those who pretend that everything's fine are not going to be attractive and in a position to help share with those who are suffering. Many of the groups people start are those with a common problem, like to get together to help things. I'm not saying when someone comes to you, so if a child comes to me and goes, oh, I cut my finger, you do not go, oh, I broke it last week, I suffer worse. That's not helpful. Paul wasn't telling them about his sufferings as a kind of, I can trump that, I have been worse in response to their problems. He was simply sufficiently honest and open to share his life and his weakness, that he needed God, such that then I think people would then feel that he was open to helping them. And he talks about that grace, that comfort is also for you. Troubles are not a judgment. I know some people who've almost been put off by their churches because they have been forced to move. They've gone to a church, perhaps after a broken marriage, and they feel that people are simply judging them. Jesus made it clear when he was asked about a tower of Siloam that fell on a load of people. They were like, what do they do? What do their parents, you know? Why were they killed by this random falling bricks? And Jesus said it wasn't the fact that they deserved it any more than anyone else. So it's not an opportunity to judge other people if they are suffering. Ah, you might say, some people are suffering because they asked for it. If I decided to go and ski backwards down a run, down a black run, not having skied for some time, you might not be that sympathetic when I hurt myself. At the end of the day, we all make mistakes, and God is prepared to forgive us. So what is our problem with forgiving other people? It's not that however stupid they've been, that they deserve their suffering any more than we do. And the third point comes down to how to be a Barnabas. We are there. Maybe a hug would help, maybe a teddy bear would help, but ultimately we're there to try and spill out and share the strength and the courage that we've received from God, that actually they're going to need to get through the hard times. It would be so nice, wouldn't it, to take problems away, to change diagnosis, to stop people we, you know, see in pain. But it's not always possible. And ultimately, some bad things in life will require strength and courage in order to get through them. And always a hope. We can always bring that hope that there will be good times and rewards with Jesus at the end of it all. Okay, so we've finished being nice to other people. What about comfort for us? How are we going to find strength and courage for hard times, for the rubbish that life may well throw at us? So I've got here, you know, someone's broken their leg. It happens. The leg is broken. What does this guy need? He needs something stronger than a broken leg, something that he can trust his weight to, something that he can use to still walk about, even though, with the best will in the world, that leg is going to take time to heal and to mend. How do we comfort ourselves? Now, this picture is sort of not a coincidence. It reminds me about 25 years ago, a guy called Jesse Ventura came up with this quite famous phrase. I don't know if any of you have come across this. He said, "Organized religion is a sham. It's a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers." And he was actually quoted in a publication called Playboy. But this shows what they read. The New York Times picked this up pretty quickly afterwards, so clearly everyone, and it was widely publicized. Jesse, who said this, was a Navy SEAL, was a top soldier, an actor, a professional wrestler. So obviously, being American, he then became a politician. It's the kind of CV you need to be a politician. So what he was doing was getting at, I think, some of the big organized churches in America where someone would stand up and tell everybody how to vote or what to think. But it was a thought-provoking phrase. Ultimately, you know, are we all just coming to church because we're wusses and we can't cope? I would like, not that I think anybody, if Playboy is still running, anyone's going to ask me I would like to offer them a quote, but I would like to change it to the organized religion, the Christian faith. The Christian faith is not a sham. We all need a crutch, because if we're honest, we all have difficulties, problems. We are all damaged. And actually, it brings strength and courage if we have something else to rely on, and that might include the strength of others. So, troubles are part of life, and it's intriguing sometimes. You see, kind of on the surface, the same thing might happen to two people, and they react totally differently. One of them, they may never recover. They kind of like, you feel like they've wallowed in it for years, and others seem to manage to cope. You know, how can I be that person that when setbacks come along, that won't then define me for the rest of my life? And be something I can't deal with. They're a part of life. The extra strength that some people find, might describe it as digging deep in themselves. What if I dig deep in myself and there isn't a load of extra strength and courage there that I need for something? Paul is clear that it comes from God. So I read from verse 9. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the death sentence. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. He has delivered us from deadly peril, and he will deliver us again." So they knew from past experience that God had been there and given strength in the little things. And that therefore means it's easier, in a sense, to tap into and respond to him in the big things. And they make it clear that this wasn't us digging deep in ourselves and finding some inner strength. but they would point to the fact that God, and let's face it, who is the stronger partner here? Discipleship is being in partnership with God. That's us being cheeky, isn't it? Who is God? Creator of the universe, master of death. He is the stronger partner. Who would you rely upon? The last thing that Paul says is he talked about prayer. Talked about relying on prayer. And we have been doing a lot to focus on prayer recently, and there is good reason for this. He said, on him, God, we have set our hope, and he will deliver us. As you helped us by your prayers. So they received help through prayers. And then many will give thanks on our part for the gracious favor granted to us in the answer to those prayers for many. Again, we're encouraged by answers to prayer in small things. We dare to pray for bigger things. People may speculate on what helps some people endure, kind of get through things to better times. And one idea is that actually, because Paul was a Pharisee, he was kind of trained to repeat prayers to God every day. And the fact that he wasn't feeling like doing it and he felt, he'd lost all hope, maybe actually because that was his habit and what he did, he kept saying those prayers. He clung on there with the things that he'd learnt. We often say the reason we have these memory verses is because actually when we don't feel like we can barely cope with opening the Bible and finding stuff for ourselves, these verses are there, a store come back to us. Our good habits will sustain us, will keep us going. So the idea is that this is some sort of contradiction, this title, the series that we're looking at, these phrases that Paul tosses out meant no sense. How do we get comfort through affliction or troubles? It doesn't mean how are we going to feel comfortable while things are going wrong. Actually, more of the contradiction in the world's view, that is what Christians believe work, is that when we are weak, when we can't cope, that is when God, the He with the capital H, is strongest. That is when we can rely most on Him. If I tried to walk around now with my crutches, I wouldn't be using them properly. I would, I don't really need them. I'd probably trip over them and break something. But when I need it, when I couldn't walk across the room by myself, then I discover just how useful they truly are. I wanted to finish, and I printed this out some time ago, and it says on the order of service that John Fox was going to read a passage, didn't say which one. I have picked the same one. So I'm not going to not read it because you've already heard it once. I am going to read it because God gave this same suggestion, I would dare to say, to both of us independently when looking at this passage and what should happen. So this is from the end of Isaiah 40, which began, "Comfort, comfort my people. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Amen.